In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
It's the lugubrious nature of Phil Lynas that always impresses me. One day, maybe he'll join us for a live Fly Me to the Moon all the way from Los Angeles.
I hope so.
Exactly. We should be there. So we will get that coordinated.
With the fragrance for men.
Always important, exactly. It is indeed the second Fly Me to the Moon podcast of the 2017-2018 season, but the first companion podcast to issue 577, the Sheffield United Fly Me to the Moon edition. Jenny Finch, it's the 30th season of Fly Me to the Moon, the publication.
Now that is writing and consistency. Exactly. Congratulations,
exactly.
Rob.
This is wonderful stuff from that point of view. And all is going swimmingly. See what we did there?
Yes.
Rob? All is going swimmingly as far as life is concerned. Even the Richard Bellis got the right number of goals with his first ever prediction as a non-footballing person. He said 1-0 last week. He didn't anticipate Martin Braithwaite missing an open goal.
Yes.
And clearly the other challenges there. But Richard never 1-0 to Wolves.
Half a point.
No, I think I'd be even higher. I'd say no points whatsoever, actually, Rob. But never mind.
No, it's not. Swimmingly is the cover, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what we hope to be back in the swim with these, with two home games together, Sheffield United, then on Tuesday, Burton, Albion. Obviously, the first game was a disappointment. So, new manager, new league, new players. It was a case of us not really bedding in, but ultimately, it was a dreadful mistake by a player that's been around for a long time, Danny Ayala, who just turned and passed blind straight to their centre forward, and that was the difference in the end between the two teams. So, hopefully, all those nerves and everything else, and another week together as a new pool of players have settled in, and we can sort of put down sort of. Come together in these two games, really, and get some points.
The sense at Wolves, I mean, again, I don't want to constantly refer to Newcastle because they're a different team from City and so on, but I think last season when they lost their first couple of matches, crisis was being muted, Benitez didn't know what he was actually doing. In terms of the feeling of the fans, Rob, did you get a sense that actually, it was a reasonable performance, a disappointing result, but a reasonable performance?
Yeah, it was a... I think there was the feeling that it was a very difficult first game to get away from home. Wolves, who'd spent a lot themselves, got a new manager. In fact, they'd got a £15 million midfielder, hadn't they? And that's where they did dominate in the middle of the field.
Although we have a £15 million striker.
We do, yeah. But saying that, it was very much that he really got hold of the midfield for them. So there was an awful lot of expectation last weekend. So I think... everybody was talking about winning the league, smashing the league, etc. And I think you're getting a bit ahead of about ourselves. We were, I know, as well.
More optimism when it comes to actually having a more attacking formation.
Oh yeah, yeah. Three forwards on the field last week. I think the only question mark would be that leaves no space for a winger, and we don't really have too many wingers in the team, and Stuart Downing didn't travel to Wolves, and Traore didn't get onto the bench even. So you're asking your fullbacks to bomb forward and create all the width. And there were times in the second half where the new player Cyrus Christie was asked to be the only outlet rather than running through a very crowded middle. But again, it was only one game, and there's a lot of things to sort out. And our midfield has changed again because Martin Darun has gone back to Italy.
Indeed, he's at Atalanta, which is where he came from in the first place.
Yeah.
So Darun has become an ex-Roon now.
He's
gone from there. One sentence, which I must admit I put into the department of possible Teesside pessimism or be afraid, be very afraid, was from our good friend Stanistan. Back from serving on the front line in Afghanistan, and Jenny, you might appreciate this particular one from Stanistan. The last time I was this excited was after Strachan's big Scottish spending spree, and look how well that turned out.
Already
you're thinking, oh, what? I mean, when you actually put that into the edition, Rob, did you sort of think, no!
Well, of course, we did start that season as favourites, didn't we? Because he had spent so many. Mm. But it was a completely misplaced strategy of bringing everybody from Scotland.
So let's just hope that we don't head down. I can't see it.
No, I don't. I think they're very different personalities, Gary Monk and Gordon Strachan.
Well, we hope so. I suppose if he is it natural blonde his hair? I don't know. We just don't know. Talking about Mr. Bunk here. The Spirit of 86 is mentioned. A newbie as far as Flying to the Moon is concerned, Scott Turnbull.
Yeah.
Comes along with Now Then, Folks. His name is Scott Turnbull, and he does theatre and drawings and a whole range of things. He also wrote a play last year, Jenny, called Where Do All the Dead Pigeons Go? Was it rhetorical? Was it metaphysical? Was it Proustian? I don't know.
He goes to the moon. He's very sci-fi because he goes to the moon from Redcar, and he has one person with him, and it's an android, Tony Mowbray.
Yay.
Good God.
An android Tony Mowbray. Yes, such a thing can
the world
exist.
Needs that. Yeah.
Well, certainly Black Moon Rovers do, but let's not talk about the division below us, because that's a different thing entirely. So is this going to be a regular thing in the centre spread, Rob, the Spirit of 86? Will there be more Scott Turnbull material coming through?
There will be more Scott. Yes, definitely. He's going to go through the team from 86. It's kind of, although this didn't start in 86, this fanzine started in 88, which is a couple of years after, obviously, when we still had Bruce Rioch, and I think he's trying to capture the 30th season by looking back.
Absolutely.
As he takes us on his own moon mission.
And I feel, actually, Jenny and Rob, we should, in fact, also Richard as well, we should actually have a little Fly Me to the Moon excursion on the 4th of October, if we're free, to the Ark in Stockton, because that is where Do All the Dead Pigeons Go actually has an on-stage airing.
We should definitely go.
I saw
it last year. It was hilarious, and he's taken it to Edinburgh Fringe with some success. And this is where they this is almost like the launching pad, very close to the launching pad in Redcar.
Richard, would you be up for joining us for Where Do All the Dead Pigeons Go at the Ark in Stockton?
Yeah, I would be.
Yes, that's good. That's a positive response, which is great. I think anybody who can actually wrap up the particular column that Scott's put together with a big thanks to Hammy, and next month a chance to win a lock of Craig Johnson's hair is, you know...
I'm there.
Exactly. It's quite frankly, you know, unbelievable. We'll be having poetry from Kadeem Hussain, and in fact two poems in the thing, one of which will be read out from that point of view. In fact, is there three? There is, in James Flynn. People have gone poetry mad in this particular edition.
Yeah, it's great that James... sends these poems in. Fantastic.
James Flynn, I'll just give you the opening line. When football was played in the W formation and stars of the day captured public imagination, when soccer was a joy to behold and strikers operated twofold. You want the rest? Buy the magazine. Genius stuff from that point of view. And a whole heap of other things. We'll be talking probably about that chap, Mr. Sharp, who I suspect might be a sort of man to watch as far as Sheffield United are actually concerned, particularly given that clearly they are currently in sixth position, I believe, in the Championship. Borough, well, we're still above the relegation side, so that's good. You know, with one game... You know, one game table.
They, of course, won in the Cup as well, and we've just had our Cup draw, haven't we?
Which got the bag. Scunthorpe
at home,
yes. Yes, so it's nice to see that clearly... the battle for trophies on three fronts continues ever onwards.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit ManilaPR.com now.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium. Hang on. Slow down. Hang on. What are you doing? And 1 tablespoon. Remember, any more than 1 tablespoon could kill you. Any less than 1 tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Very good. Seamless. Sports journalism is littered with tales of debauchery, drunkenness, doping, and being embedded with vested interests. Is this true, Jenny? Not that you've been a sports journalist, but, yeah, as a contributor to the Darlington and Stockton Times, amongst our routines.
If it is true, then I've missed my vocation and wasted my life. Why didn't I become a sports journalist?
The thoughts of Neil Garrett, who effectively is providing a wonderful sort of a little historiography in terms of how the fanzine emerged and how the line, fans are not idiots who cannot discern wheat from chaff or make up their own minds. The sterile journalism of the 80s and 90s gave rise to the fanzine with its semi-professional, cheaply printed, passionately stapled, highly biased contributors which challenged the status quo. Do you think the Evening Gazette have been taking sort of tips from that point of view, which is why they're, no, we'll go there.
No.
It could be a political hot potato, which we'd best not go into. But allowing for Neymar's transfer to Paris Saint-Germain, the likelihood of another Monaco player, Mbappe, also going for about 180 million, it's nice to see that people haven't forgotten George Campbell, Alf Common, Steve Bloomer, and Billy Pickstock.
Yes, indeed. And
£1,000 he actually cost Alf Common, Jenny.
Alf Common, it was a scandal of Neymar proportions because we were paying £1,000. We were buying our way out of relegation, and that was thought to be scandalous at the time.
Exactly. 1905, when I was just a wee lad, was when Alf Common effectively received £1,000. Sunderland got £1,000. £208 salary per year, presumably, he got. Was that a year? Was that £208 salary? He got a goal every 2.8 games.
Maximum wage.
The transfer average was a little over £400 in those days. Jack Robson convinced the chairman to shell out the pound notes, and Borough, they didn't actually benefit, really, because...
We avoided relegation.
Yeah, well, that's it. But the manager was sacked in any way.
Shape. Oh, yeah, he was, yeah.
And George Campbell, of course, in 1925, he also was described here by Neil, by Will Nett.
Will Nett, yes.
Exactly,
Will Nett.
Made-up name? I have to ask, you know.
A lot of authors change their names, don't they?
A nom de plume.
His name's quite similar to that.
Or indeed the Chinese. So Will Nett and that sort of thing, discussing George Campbell, out of the mines and into the fields, Halloween 1925, a ruddy-faced redhead with the face of a vaudeville clown pulls on a Borough shirt for the first time.
Indeed.
Somehow strangely more evocative of an era than Sky Sports have ever been, really, but maybe that's just anti-Burdock players and all coming through there. Returning to Richard briefly, if you actually were introduced to Billy Pickstock, would you say, aha, You're obviously from the Victorian era where men were men and women were banned.
Well, that's probably...
He's taking a Generation X line on that, a Generation YouTuber. So yes. Quite right. So Steve Bloomer is the other mention, who's the buzz, who's actually mentioned by Will Nett, the most single-minded striker ever to pull on a Borough shirt. Steve Bloomer makes Ravenelli look like king of assists. So great stuff. So
actually interned in World War One, Steve Bloomer.
Yeah, exactly.
He found himself in Berlin when the war started. So he was actually interned in a prison of war camp.
Yeah. That's what happens if you're trying to get that, you know, that final transfer when it breaks out. You know, pay attention. Who knows what could happen on that system? Again, although we're in the Championship, I have to say,
Rob,
you have pulled out all the stops, because this has to be one of the outrageously wonderful launches to the season that we've ever come across here. I mean, your heart goes out to "My name is Jude and I am seven. I am looking forward to the new season."
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's great. You know, it's like the next generation coming through on that basis. And you've got a photograph, actually, of Jude, Ben and Joe with Adam Clayton with his new jacket on. That's Adam Clayton.
Adam Clayton's new jacket, that's right.
Did you see?
In the shop.
That's what you call voice of the fans. Find out.
Local reporting, yeah.
Bit of fashion from the point of view. Is Thomas Bartley right, Rob, insofar as Monk Mania is? I mean, I still steered away from "Here we come," walking down the street, because we are all monkeys. I'm waiting for the first win until we actually realize that. But are we going crazy? Is Thomas Bartley, is he right, between, you know, this whole notion of similarities drawn between this appointment and numerous previous Borough ones, a young, fresh manager with a point to prove?
Well, it's true. And I think the next two games could see that take off. We certainly don't want any sort of pressure to build. We've seen managers become before. Steve McLaren, I think he lost his first four games for Middlesbrough, so we don't want any repeat of that. A good opportunity here with these two home games together to sort of, if not like Monk Mania, get everybody, but if that doesn't happen, we're going to get everyone behind a new regime. And it was good. Thomas and his dad went along to see Gary Monk and the coaching staff, because they had you could pay and get a pie and peas and meet the coaching staff and ask them questions, which is a really good idea. It's a very un-Strachan-esque way of introducing yourself to the fans, isn't it?
And certainly getting to that whole notion of ensuring that football in the community is genuinely happening and not simply empty, vacuous rhetoric, which sometimes it can be. Jenny in Saltburn. Is there a sense that after last season's unfortunate scenarios that somehow actually the Borough are heading back in the right direction?
There is, actually. If you walk along the street and it's a home game, often there's sort of great vacuous spaces because a lot of people have gone to the match. And if it's an away match, a lot of people stay at home, but you can hear the televisions and you can hear the shouts. It's quite nice, actually. There is a feeling that, we had a false start last year. We'll come back, reset, and do it properly this time. And I think they are going to do it properly this time. And so does Saltburn.
Exactly. They will smash the whole system. I hadn't realised that Peter Mackin's continuing sequence of famous Borough pubs continues with the Camel's Hump, another former Bass pub in the town on Waterloo Road, just off Linthorpe Road.
Used to be the Trooper, and it's closed down now, unfortunately. I think it's going to be converted the site of student flats, because it's surrounded by university now. But a well-known pub.
Another traditional Borough pub that's gone forever, thanks to students. Richard, I mean, surely I thought that, you know, students and pubs, they went together like love and marriage and cheese and other such materials.
They do go together like that.
So what's happening with pubs being demolished because of student accommodation? I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's okay. Not that I want to actually sort of put the entire weight of responsibility for the closing of a Borough's pub to your good self, but sometimes, you know, you have to work through that. Anyway, staying with your good self, just above famous Borough pubs, we have Kadeem Hussain's classic bit of poetry, which again just opens up a whole chill scenario under the heading of "The Dawning of a New Golden Age," and this year's X Factor contestant for best oration of a Kadeem Hussain piece of poetry is going to be opened up by Richard, please, in your own time.
Oh.
Take it away.
No pressure then. Oh, children of my children, I have a story to tell, and that will give thrills and chills. One minute you'll be over the moon, sick as a parrot the next. The ball has not been kicked in anger. O children of my children, this is the dawning of a new era, the age of Munch. Is this the dawning of a new golden age, or another tale of woe?
Yep, I can see the spirit of Southside, the way in which the delivery was precise, definite, you know, stentorian, I would say, stentorian, in terms of the way forward. Well done, and a round of applause there. Marvellous. And Kadeem will be proud as well, to actually, particularly. And I love me, Kadeem, of course, who many years ago we recall, heck, probably the first season of podcasts for Flying to the Moon, came up with a season to remember, a season to forget.
Yes.
Which was a wonderful thing. It was a season to remember. And now, of course, showing that he's become embedded and entrenched in Teesside vernacular. Is this the dawning of a new golden age or another tale of woe?
Yes. You can go to his borough room and maybe he'll give you a poem as a reward for going there.
That's, yeah? I tell you what, Rob, we're doing so many wonderful on-air production meetings, it's just wonderful, but how about doing a Fly Me to the Moon live from 49B Wilson Street one edition?
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
as long as Kadeem does us a special poem.
The Borough Shop for old programmes, books and memorabilia, a few photos and the largest, in capital letters, collection of FMTTM. Largest collection of FMTTM. He's blown them all up to AE5 size.
Yeah.
That's all great stuff. It's huge, massive scenarios there. Let's talk Sheffield United briefly.
Yeah.
Because clearly, Tony McDonough from Manila PR, he would be praying exactly for a Borough 6 Sheffield United 0 result.
He's a Wednesday fan.
Yes, exactly, as a Wednesday fan. Mike Kelly writing, Sheffield United in the red. Like Middlesbrough, Sheffield United have spent the majority of their history in the top two tiers. Like Middlesbrough, they've had two periods in the third tier, although United's last spell was much longer than they would have liked. I would have expected back in May 2007. So the Blades are coming to the Borough. They're currently in a say they managed to get a 1-0 win last week.
Yes, and the one in the is it the Caribou
the
Cup?
Caribou Cup. Cool. Can you do the Fandango? Oh, no, that's a former Trump person.
Yes,
it is. He could go into fizzy drinks, I'm sure, or some sort of energy drink as a side.
Needs a new job.
Are we cautiously optimistic, Rob, or are we thinking, well, you know, these are the games we need to get 3 points from?
I think so. I think we do need to get 3 points. And obviously, it's going to be screened live on TV, so a lot of people will be watching on Saturday evening. So there's usually a team that comes through from the lower divisions that challenges, that keep the momentum going. And I don't really see Millwall or Bolton being able to do that. So maybe Sheffield United will be that team. But they've spent a long time down in that third tier, and so they will be desperate to find the feet and drive forward. So they made a good start, but let's hope we can end that start.
Jenny, any particular tales of Sheffield you'd like to share with us, like the tales of Birmingham that we've had in previous years, or is it a case of, you know, Sheffield, apart from Meadowhall, I prefer to avoid?
The only thing I know about Sheffield is my niece studied at the university and said it was a wonderful place. But it is the worst, most difficult place in the world to get to on the trains. You've got 4 changes to get from Sheffield to Middlesbrough, and it takes about 5 times as long on the train, which is ludicrous.
So, really, the fans who make it to Borough from Sheffield
are going to be passionate and tired.
They're quite an odyssey. Now, if the team are actually going to be tired as well, that could well work in Borough's favour.
Yes, I like that idea. I hope they've come on the train.
Exactly. So I suspect they might not have, but just in case they have, you know, fair enough. You know, every little helps, as we know when we look at the changing rooms. That it's a wee while since I've been around the back of the Riverside Stadium. That sounds a lot worse than it actually means. But in terms... You know, sometimes you just we should have sorted that one out of rehearsal.
Yeah.
But in terms of the sequence, I know that the dressing rooms for the away side are always just that little less comfortable.
Oh, they are. They've got an L shape, so you can't actually haven't got all the visibility. Exactly. I think they're green in colour as well.
Yeah. You know, just to actually sort of continue to, you know, add these little sort of things, so there's a little bit of an edge given to the whole sort of system. Let's turn to Richard Bellis. What's your prediction for the first home game for Borough in the Championship season, the EFL Championship? That's the English Football League. Mm-hmm. What's your prediction?
I'm gonna put it up a bit and say 2-0 this time.
2-0 to Borough. To Borough, right. Jenny?
I think 2-0 as well.
2-0. I'll go 6-0. What the heck? throw it out there. You may laugh now. Next edition, who knows what's
right. I'd love it if you're right. Well, I might as well go 3-0 then to Middlesbrough.
There we are.
And so, cream cakes to the winners.
Yes, clean sheets all round, and the Predictor Challenge continues its own way. How can people get in touch of or get copies of the paper edition of Flying to the Moon if they're not going to the ground? How can they subscribe? What's easy? I mean, rather than sort of have that fret about, oh, they might have all sold out by the time I actually get to the ground, so I won't be able to pick it up on the match day itself. Yeah. How can they actually?
You can get it from Kadim's shop, mm-hmm. at the Borough Room.
Indeed. Yeah.
Or you can subscribe. And either click on subscribe on fmttm.com, mm-hmm. or you can write old-fashioned way, Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7.
Did anybody do that, by the way? Because we put out that challenge last week that if anybody did actually write into you in the old-fashioned pen and paper way, we would had an autographed Jenny Finch book to actually...
Without,
we hadn't consulted you, Jenny, but as a prize. You know. So did anybody actually sort of do that?
Yeah, there's been lots of people have...
Actually wrote in?
Yeah. So, did they have to write and say that they'd heard it on Southside?
Oh.
You didn't say that, did you?
Well, I suppose in the spirit of things, legally, we should actually have a draw. So, one of those people, we'll put them all into... Next Fly Me to the Moon, we'll actually have a draw in the studio, Rob. So put them all in pieces of paper and we'll have an official draw. And one of those lucky people will get that official... Now that Jenny's...
This is another of our production meetings that's happening while we're actually talking
about
it.
Exactly, yes. Look, all those DVD extras... People love it, you know, it's the important sort of things. Anyway, carry on. How can people subscribe?
Oh, yeah. You can write, and you might end up in a draw. Or will that draw, is that
oh, best? I think we'll stick it, because we ran it last week. So, Jenny, what would you say? Should we
have I think it? We ought to run it this week as well, but if people want to be entered into it this week, they have to put on it that they heard it on Fly Me to the Moon.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you can subscribe, Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilk Street, Middlesbrough, TS1 5AP.
Which leads us to those seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment. Jenny's first time of the season. Obviously, Richard has been working on this all week since last time round, so it's going to be a wonderful way of actually sort of celebrating this whole thing. Exactly, it's all sorted through. Are we ready? A one, a two, a three.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough.